Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 172, the big wedding quilt episode, or else the episode in which we go into my bathroom and talk about the Kleenex boxes. Yes, I do that, and I even took pictures, I think. It was hard. It was very hard to hold a recorder and take pictures. I suppose I could have put the recorder down and stopped recording, but my mind doesn't really work like that. In any event, it is Tuesday, October 6th. I need to go vote. It's a beautiful day after many weeks of cruddy weather. 12 days straight of rain, and before that, just kind of gloomy and overcast. Yes, we know. I don't complain about the weather. It doesn't affect me, but this weather almost did. If any weather was going to affect me, if there was any weather that I could not actually rise above, this would have been the weather. But today it is sunny, it is beautiful, it's about 75 degrees, I'm out on the porch again with Travis, and I hope he doesn't bark, but there are many squirrels about, and he has a job to do, which is to scare the squirrels away. Anyway, it's, I can't remember when I posted the last episode. I think it's probably about a week and a half ago, and it is, let's see, so, and I have a couple quilt diaries, and I'm making lots of progress on the wedding quilt, Carrie's wedding quilt, though I will have to say I'm not feeling fully 100% confident that I'm going to have it done in time for the wedding, which is this Sunday. I am doing my best. We'll see what happens. This is the week of the big colonoscopy Friday, and today, Tuesday, I'm starting to eat just a low fiber diet, which means I had tortellini for lunch. Tortellini, one of my favorite things in the world. Don't eat it a ton, because when I do, I gain 5 pounds, but I figure I'll lose 5 pounds on Thursday when I fast. You know, I've always wanted to try the fast diet, you know, where you fast, I think, a couple times a week, and then the rest of the time you kind of eat what you want, but 2 times a week you fast, which I think in this case means you don't eat more than 600 calories. And I'm scared of fasting. I have to say, I get cranky, I get headachy. I'm going to have some coffee with half and half, although I can't on Thursday or Friday. But I've always wondered about it, and so I'm trying to look at Thursday, the fast day, where pretty much I can eat Jell-O, and I can eat chicken broth, and I can have popsicles, but that's kind of it. So I'm going to just say, all right, this is what that feels like. How do you feel about it? Anyway, yeah, looking forward to the whole Thursday, Friday thing. But then Saturday, it'll be over. Right? Right. I want to say thank you to everyone who has commented on recently. Sometimes I get comments on episodes that are long ago. You know, you get caught up, or, you know, they're new listeners who like to go back and listen, and so suddenly I'm getting a comment on episode 55. I think at this point, my first 50 or so episodes are actually unavailable. We're in the process of building this new website, and my hope is I can find them on my old computer on the Audacity files, and then can actually have them on the website, if not on iTunes. You know, just for the record, you know, not that you'll want to go back to episode number one, but maybe you will. Who knows? Maybe you'll be feeling nostalgic or sentimental or something, and want to start from the very beginning and go through all 172 episodes. Bless your heart. I can't remember where I was going with this other than to say, oh yeah, people comment on earlier episodes. I appreciate all the comments I've gotten. Recently, I got some funny, good emails from Lizzie. Last time I asked I had gotten an email from someone coming into quilting after a long time gone and asking about how to reconnect, and my ideas were guilds, podcasts, twilters, what have you. So the first email I got from Lizzie said, one bit of advice, do not drink wine and sew. You will end up ripping it out in the light of the next day, which is exactly what I just paused from doing at this very moment in order to write this comment. And Lizzie's point was, back in the day, people did not sew and drink. And now that seems to be more of a thing. And her suggestion is avoid that. And then she wrote back with what she called a valid word of advice for Barbara. She says, I jumped back in to quilting by doing a quilt run with a friend. We blitzed all 14 shops in our county in one weekend. I'm sorry, where do you live, Lizzie? Oh, she lives in Southern California. Okay, I was like, where? What county has 14 shops? But somewhere in Southern California, there is a county that has 14 quilt shops. Wow. My mind was blown by the new world of quilting. Art quilts, batiks, Japanese, wool, etc. This introvert also got a feel for the people in each community without being noticed. Bonus! I thrive on anonymity, Lizzie writes. It was good being lost in the crowd. Oh, I agree. So that's an idea. Do a blitz. Find a friend. Go to all the quilt stores. Immerse yourself quickly, intensely. I like that. So thank you, Lizzie, for those words of advice. Now, I got other comments as well. But speaking of introverts, well, I'm going to find my comments. The man and I went to a party Saturday, which in our big plan was, this is a neighbor lady who also goes to church, turned 50, had a big party. She's a realtor. So there were like a huge, it was like 150 people invited. And the idea was going to be this great outdoor bash, and it was pouring rain, had a hurricane heading in our direction. But it turned out to be very nice. But our plan was to take over a bottle of wine, to go around, the party started at 6. Go around 6:15, say, hi, happy birthday, here's a bottle of wine, hang out by the food for about 10 minutes, and then leave and go get a pizza. We ended up staying for, you know, over 3 hours. We knew a few people there. But what ended up happening, my mode of surviving is I actually would just go up to people and say, hi, I'm Francis. I don't know anyone here. This is my husband, Clifton. He doesn't know anyone here. How are you doing? And I would just go up to people who seemed to be hanging out by themselves and also just gave off that panic look of, I don't know anyone here, and I'm just going to kind of try to look like I'm okay and having a good time, and then I'm going to go get a pizza really soon. And we met lots of people that way, and we actually ended up with a really fun group of Frisbee players, women. So my friend Tammy, whose party it was a big Frisbee player at some time in the past. I don't think she still plays Frisbee. She does rock climb. She's in very good shape. And anyway, so a bunch of women who she played Frisbee from, Frisbee with came to the party, and they were really fun. And, you know, yeah, so we had a great time. Weird. Anyway, so maybe, so, you know, but basically you're thinking, well, that's not very introverted of you. It's like, yeah, it was, because you approach people and then you interview them and get them talking and then you just stand there and drink your wine. It works. All right. I want to say thank you to everyone who commented in the last 10 days or so, to put it that way. I appreciate you taking the time. FYI, you can come over to my blog, the offkilterquilt.wordpress.com, and leave a comment there. You can leave a comment on the Twilter site if you're in that group. You can email me at fdowell@nc.rr.com, and sooner or later I will write you back. And I love hearing from you. I heard from Michelle. I heard from Stephanie, who actually lives not that far from me. So one day, Stephanie, we will get together. We'll figure that out. I would love to meet you in person. I heard from Dawn, and she was listening to episode 168 when she commented and said that she was working on a quilt using Bollipops. And she felt those were very inaccurately cut, which makes me feel better, because I feel like when I first was complaining about poorly cut pre-cuts, I was talking about pre-cut batiks, and I think I called them Bollipops, and then I realized that I was not using Bollipops, but apparently they're bad too. Okay, yeah, I'm just done with the pre-cuts, I think. I say that, and then, you know, I'll go back on that. But anyway, heard from Katie, from Quilting Daydreams, who, like me, loves good paper. I love good paper. I love good paper. Here's a weird, it's not a weird thing. I hope it was a nice thing. I dropped Will off this weekend at a friend's house. It was a birthday party. It's just a few kids. They were going to go race go-karts, which turned out to be a fabulous time. But when I dropped him off, the kid, his name was Jackson. Jackson's little sister was about 4. She had been cutting out pieces of paper, like really good cardstock from a mailer from the Nasher Museum, which is the contemporary art museum over at Duke, which I actually have very mixed feelings about, but they send out good mail. And she kept walking over and giving me pieces of the paper she cut out. And it was really pretty, and they were like, you know, wonky cuts. So she was just cutting stuff. And she gave me a bunch, and they were pretty. And like, one was really silvery and shiny, and one was kind of purple and nice. And so, you know, I was like, all right. And I put them, every time she gave me one, I would put it in my back pocket. And I kept them, and I kind of played with them a little bit when I got home, and kind of made a little collage on my desk. And Will ended up spending the night. And the next day when I went over, I had found I have all these little, like, jewelry cardboard boxes, brown cardboard, not white. I thought, I'm going to take these and make this little girl, Emerson, a box. So I did a little collage, and I added some of my own paper to it to have enough. And then I put a marble and some feathers and a little cat figure, little tiny cat bead in there, and gave it to her. And she really liked it, but I don't really know this family. They're probably thinking, wow, that Frances is really one of the weirder people we've ever met. But she seemed to like the box. So as long as she was happy and I was happy, then we were fine. Anyway, so paper. Yay, paper. I heard from, I don't even know how to say this. It could be Natalie. The username is ShamZauberFaden. ShamZauberFaden. But then there's also an email that says Natalie. So I'm going to call you Natalie, who's working on her quilting nemesis, flying geese. Yes, I had been talking about my nemesis, half-skirt triangle. That's a good question. What is your quilting nemesis? What is the thing you just feel like no matter how hard you've tried to do it, you can't do it? Half square triangles, definitely one of mine. Heard from Sherry D. Yes, whose husband also just finished the book about the Martian survivor, which I believe is called The Martian. Jack went to see the movie this weekend and said it was great. I would like to see the movie. I like that Matt Damon. I do. Heard from Brenda F. Heard from Jay, also known as Art Quilt Maker. And Jay informs me that, yes, Moda has always had serrated or pinked, I think pinked is probably the right word, edges, and that makes her crazy too. Thank goodness. Man, I just don't even get that. I don't. I mean, I'm assuming it keeps the edges from fraying, so I get it in that regard, but I just find it makes them hard to work with. Down with pre-cuts. Well, I probably shouldn't say that, but I feel that. I heard from Cindy, and she was commenting on episode 153, which she liked my band's name. Idea, the Violent Threads. Cindy, let's start that. Let's make that happen. And I heard from the wonderful Kelly the Fifth, who is actually, and Kelly the Fifth does this. She uses this format to actually talk to other people, not me. She's not talking, this time she's talking to Jay. She's replying to Jay's comments, and which she says, quite rightly, are always so thoughtful. And Kelly's saying that I'll just read it. I am always overwhelmed at quilt shows and have to keep my eyes down for a while. It is so hard to figure out where to look when I know I go into sensory overload pretty fast, but don't want to miss excellent art. So I think Frances's idea, oh, look, she's bringing it back to me. Frances's idea of an hour or so at a museum is a good one. Yeah, that's, I have the same thing at quilt shows too. It's like you want to look at everything and you want to be, really experience the quilts, but after a while it is overwhelming. And I think that's probably why some people take pictures, like, okay, I'm gonna take a picture and move on, and then I can experience these quilts in the comfort and safety of my own home. But I don't know, I'm trying not to take pictures. I don't take a lot of pictures anyway. I don't even know why I have an Instagram account, just really to look at other people's pictures. But at things like at quilt shows, I've gone to a few where I've just taken tons and tons. And, I don't really look at them. And it's not my favorite way to interact with the quilt, via a picture. I think you get so much more by actually standing in front of it and, having the full sensory experience of the quilt. Not that quilts really smell that much. But just kind of intensely being there. It's just such a different experience than looking at a picture of a quilt. But having said that, at some point, it's just things shut down. It's too much. too much, but anyway, it was great to hear from everybody. I love getting your comments. Please comment. Please let me know you're there. I love it. So anyway, I think I'm going to stop here. I think we're going to get on with the Quilt Diaries, and I will see you in a week or so. On we go. I wanted to add a quick PS, because I did hear from someone else. I forgot to mention it. I got last week, wonderful, got an email from Karen, who is one of these big craftsy people, and they love her so much that they gave her free classes to give to other people. She could give a free class to three people, and I was one of her people, and that was so cool. So I just want to give a public shout out and thank you to Karen. I ended up getting a new Angela Walters class on quilting borders and edges, which is something I have a hard time with. So anyway, thanks Karen. Appreciate you. Bye. Quilt Diary Day 1. It is Thursday, September 24th. Travis and I are sitting on the couch in the man's study. I'm just chilling. It's a weird day just because I'm doing a school visit over at the middle school down the road, actually, where Will is. Every year I go and talk to the sixth grade. They have to read one of my books for their summer reading. I've been doing this now. This has got to be my 11th or 12th year doing it. I started before Jack was in school. So in any event, it's usually very fun. And it was fun this morning, but it's just weird to do it and then come home. And even though I just spoke for 45 minutes, it's like those of you who are introverts, which I bet are a lot of you, know how this is. If you're going up and doing public speaking, for even 45 minutes is enough to just make you go, oh, I need a nap, you know? And I'm going to go back this afternoon at 1:30 and do it again. And I thought maybe I would come home and work, but I didn't. I came home and I walked Travis. But then I sat down and I was just like, I've got a little bit of a cold, not a bad cold, and I've been able to keep it at bay, but I, just enough just to kind of feel it. So between that and doing my song and dance for the sixth graders, you know, I'm like, yeah, I don't even know what I'm going to do. I don't even know what I'm doing. So I thought, well, I should record a quilt diary and tell you that I am making good progress on Carrie's wedding quilt. I have one more row to put together and then the top will be done. I have some hope of making that happen by tomorrow night, Friday night, and then Saturday going to Thimble Pleasures. I have at least one border. There's a very wide border. And after that, I can't remember if there's a smaller border. And I have to decide what I'm going to do about the back. I think I'm probably just going to end up buying the yardage, one piece of yardage for the back and not do anything funky. And part is a time deal. You know, I need to get quilting. The wedding is October 10th. And I think I have a good idea of how I'm going to do the quilting, but I don't want to underestimate how much time it's going to take. So I'm leaning toward just a solid back, not a solid color backing, but one fabric backing, as opposed to I have lots of strips left and it's very tempting to try to do a kind of funky modern back using the strips from the Jelly Roll, from the French General Jelly Roll that I've been working from. But I don't know. I don't think that's a good idea. I'll use them for something else, I hope. I'll make some fabric a la Victoria Finley Wolf. I have to tell you a funny story about not the quilt per se, but the wedding, which about 3 weeks ago, I realized we never got an invitation to the wedding, although I had seen a picture that Carrie had posted on Instagram of the invitation. It might have been like in, I don't know, not that long ago. I mean, it's sometime in August, but it might have been late August. We're like, really? The invitations are going out this late? How odd. But anyway, but I saw it and I was going, oh, okay, good. Because I had been wondering why we had not gotten invitations. So there were the invitations. And, you know, we had been invited to a small dinner party at Carrie's parents' house to meet Ben, who we really liked. And then had been invited to a larger party in August, which we didn't go to. But it was, and with that invitation came a note from Carrie's maid of honor saying, by the way, the reception's is only going to be for family and the wedding party. So this party is kind of the big, you know, it's the sort of pre-wedding reception. So I knew that we weren't invited to the reception, and that was fine. But I assumed we were invited to the wedding, and I feel like I had asked Carrie at the small dinner party. I was like, so are we invited to your wedding? And I think she said yes. And I almost feel like shortly after that, we got a save the date card. You know, but I'm 51, and I'm, you know, that's all last spring. And it's almost October, and I'm going, did we get a save the date card? Are we? And did she say yes? Or was she vaguely uncomfortable when I asked her if we were actually invited to the... What's going on? And we never... Where's the invitation? Did they send it to the wrong... So here, you know, and here I am working on this quilt, which, whether we're invited to the wedding or not, I would give to them. I love Carrie. She's a part of our life and a good friend. But I'm still kind of going, I have to find out. Because I don't want to show up and not be invited, or be invited and not show up. And Carrie, on the one hand, I feel someone who I could just text and say, are we invited to your wedding? Because she's very funny and very honest. But I couldn't bring myself to do it. So finally, on Tuesday, I emailed her mother, Lisa, who I know, I've known for years. And Lisa emailed back almost right away, and she said, yes, you're invited to the wedding. It's all kind of confusing. And apparently, it's one of those things where, you know, you should always plan backwards. Like, if you're having a dinner party, know what time are people coming? So when does this have to be out of the oven? This have to out of there, blah, 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 right? But Carrie and Ben didn't do that. So they sent out save the date cards, which we got one. I can't find it, but that's what was meant. I was like, I feel so sure, you know, that I got to save the date card. But I can't find it. But I did. We did. And then they decided they wanted to have a sit-down dinner for their wedding reception. And they realized that they couldn't. They'd sent out 150 save-the-date cards. They couldn't afford to do a sit-down dinner for 150 people. That would be hugely expensive. So they decided they would just have a small reception. And then when it came to sending out the wedding invitations, they couldn't decide what the etiquette is. Do you send a wedding invitation to someone you're not inviting to the reception? And they researched it and thought about it, and they decided, no, that wasn't the right thing to do. Now, I think they're wrong about that. But apparently there are etiquette guides that say otherwise, that you should not invite someone to your wedding, that you're not invited to the reception. So that's why we didn't get invitation, but we are invited to the wedding because, you know, it's at a church. I don't think you could even turn people away, quite frankly, from, you know, the church. I guess maybe you could, but I think if it's a church, anyone can show up. So anyway, so we are invited to the wedding, and then we're invited to a smaller reception in December because Lisa's son, Scott, is also, Carrie's brother, Scott, is getting married in November. So after worship at their church on Sunday, December 6th, there will be a reception, and we will go to that. But that was really, come on, yeah, again, there was part of me, it's like, if we're not invited to the wedding, that's fine. And I didn't feel like my feelings will be so hurt. My feeling was, oh, maybe they really had to downsize for some reason. And maybe someone in the family's sick or whatever. So I at no point felt like, oh, I can't believe we're not invited to the wedding. Which we are invited to the wedding. But I did have the thought, if we're not invited to the wedding, then I don't have to finish this quilt. You know, by October 10th, I have long. And to be honest, at this point, I'm thinking, well, I will finish it by then and I'll bring it. But I don't quite know, you know, I assume they'll have a place where people can bring presents. I could also just drop it off at Carrie's mom's house or something. I don't know. But I will finish it. But I did have that feeling, that sort of feeling of, ooh, cool, I don't have to finish by October 10th if we don't have to go to the wedding, and I don't have to get a dress. But I did get a dress, right? In fact, on Tuesday, I just popped into TJ Maxx on the off chance there would be something, and I found a great, it's a Ralph Lauren dress. I got it. It was a great price. It looks good. And then I bought shoes, and here's the weird thing. I love the shoes. They're little kitten pumps, pointy, 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 black velveteen, pointy toe pumps with a tiny little heel, just perfect, and they go with the dress beautifully. And I took them out up to the counter, and I hadn't looked at the price. They cost more than the dress. They cost a shocking amount of money, And I went ahead and paid for them, thinking, think about it. And you can always bring them back, I assume. I assume you can bring stuff back to TJ Maxx. And I went home and I thought about it for a long time. And I thought about all the different, you know, I can wear these shoes for the next 10 years. Because it's a classic look. And they and it's just, the it's a great because it's a really tiny heel. And I just have gotten to the point, you know, where I can't really wear high heels anymore. You know, and be at all comfortable. So anyway, so I've got my dress, I've got my heels, and now I just have to get some pantyhose and I'm ready to go. So that's the story of Carrie's wedding and Carrie's wedding quilt. Situation going on, but it's also kind of been warm. So it's like really, it's not just muggy, it's swampy. It's like mushroomy, okay? And I saw the first batch of mushrooms on somebody's lawn today. So really, it's gross. Not that I care. Not that it bothers me. But tomorrow, it's supposed to be raining, but 60 degrees. That's its own, that's what I said, its own can of fish. But I believe what I'm looking for is its own can of worms. I am inside anyway. So we're probably getting away from our porch sessions into the inside on the couch with Travis. Hi, Travis. He's sitting right here. We just had an amazing thing happen. We had our house cleaned. Not all of it, but some of it. I've been wanting to do this a long time. Hire a cleaning lady or a cleaning crew to do the bathrooms in the kitchen and the living room, which involves a lot of dusting because they're built-in bookshelves. And my neighbor Janet has had this cleaning crew come for years. And it's a mother who, my guess, is in her late 50s, maybe early 60s. Her three grown daughters, I think they're all grown. It's possible the youngest one is, they're homeschooled, but it's possible finishing up homeschool high school, which is really fun to say, homeschool high school. And then, so they all come, and in their minivan, which looks exactly like my minivan, except theirs doesn't have a Husker Du bumper sticker on it, and mine does, because you got to do things in February and March to keep yourself happy and make yourself laugh. And I thought it would be fun to have a Husker Du bumper sticker on my minivan. So I do, and they don't. And I think from what Janet says, they're fairly conservative Christians. So I left all my Bibles out. I actually did not leave anything out on purpose, but I do, you know, I do Sunday school and things like that. I do have books of theology and Bibles around, so I did not put them away. Let's say that. So anyway, so just so you know, I'm sure if they knew the extent of what I believe, they would probably think I was a heathen. But I don't know. I don't know that. They may be very open-minded, conservative, homeschooling Christians, and that's just fine, honey. As long as I get my house clean, which they did. And in fact, they got it so cleaned, I'm thinking, maybe we'll add some other rooms. I don't know. Maybe I was thinking, you know, it'd be cool right before Christmas, like a couple, before we put up the tree, is get them in and just pay to do like the whole downstairs, which would be my L, my sewing L, the living room, dining room L here. Which I just kind of felt like, you know, I've got a lot of organized mess here. It would probably be by the time I got everything picked up enough to clean, you know, it's just sort of like it really would only take me then like 15 minutes to clean it. But who knows? Who knows? I also was just like, well, great, all this stuff. I mean, it's really clean. So this was the first day, and they did a deep clean, which is really nice. And I have to say, it looks really nice. And you know what's really nice about it? I didn't have to do it. Here's the thing. I don't hate to clean. I mean, I think some people really hate to clean. But I have to be moved. The spirit has to move me to clean. And so that means I do a lot of toilet cleaning with toilet paper, right? Because I'm in the bathroom going, I don't really feel like cleaning this bathroom, but something has to be done. So, you know. But other times I'm just like, I'm into it and I do it. And yeah. And I kind of, you know, with the boys' bedrooms, for instance, I mean, one, to pay a cleaner, first of all, the cleaning's not the problem. The picking up is the problem in certain rooms in this house. But in the kitchen and the bathrooms, the cleaning is very much a problem. So they're going to come every other week. It's not that expensive. It was actually cheaper than I thought it would be. They're just going, you know, I'm happy for them to piggyback I'm happy to piggyback onto our neighbors, Eddie and Janet. They do Eddie and Janet's house every other week, and so they're going to, just after they're done over there, come over here. It's funny because the mother, her name is Betty, and I would think she's in her 60s. It's hard to tell because her hair is dyed, kind of a chestnut brown. And it's hard to tell, but she's very pretty, and her daughters are gorgeous. It's so funny. It's like, I wonder if they homeschooled them because they're religious or they just were afraid to send them to school because they're all really pretty. And they also brought three kids with them, which I knew they were going to do. And it's fine, and I got out a truck and some blocks and Thomas Tank Engine tent, stuff that I keep around. And I worked in the man's study, which is at the front of the house and separated from the other part of the house by the mudroom and two doors and whatever. So that's what it was hardest on Travis. It was not hard on me at all because I was just thinking, I smelled my house getting cleaner and cleaner. And, you know, they clean, like, the blades on the ceiling fan. You wonder how often I do that? Never. So anyway... Once every 2 years, man. So it's happened four times now since I've lived in this house. Five, including today. Anyway, that was fun. That was fun. That, I feel, money well spent. And, you know, hey. And it's something I've wanted to try for a long time. And I'm happy I did. And it's going to be cool to have them come back and do it again. Oh, man, though. I just realized something. Not for you to worry about, but plan to come back Tuesday, a week from Tuesday, and I actually won't be here. Need to call. Okay, so what next? Well, on my wall here, my lovely design wall, which is a flannel-covered piece of foam board, I wish, you know, well, I couldn't fit anything bigger in my van than what I've got, but sometimes I wish maybe I should just get another one and add it on and make the whole wall foam. Flannel covered foam. Anyway, Carrie's wedding quilt. We are coming along. I will have, I can't, yeah, I said, well, I hope I'll have the top pieced by last Friday. But really what I meant was all the blocks pieced and all the rows sewn together. But of course, it's like the binding where if you're working on a quilt that's got borders, you kind of, you finish piecing all the blocks together and getting all the blocks sewn together and you're like, oh yeah, I'm not done. I have got to put on the border. So this has a 1-inch border, well, one and a half cut, and then a 6-inch. So what will be, what then? 5.5-inch outer border. So 1-inch inner border, 5.5-inch outer border. And, you know, I'm trying to remember when I recorded the last Quilt Diary. I think it was prior to this weekend, this past weekend, because this past weekend I went to Thimble Pleasures and had a really good time picking out fabric. There, everybody who I've ever worked with there, like, gone in and said, can you help me? I've got some ideas, but I could use, you know, a second pair of eyes on this. With the exception of one woman who I don't know is still there. I have not seen her in ages. And she was like, eh. But everybody else has been tremendous. And there's one woman in particular named Julie who I like a lot. She seems very quiet to me. She may be the kind of person who's quiet with people she doesn't know, but with friends is actually quite talkative and chatty. But she clearly has a good sense of humor because she puts up with me. But she also has a really good eye. And she has been very helpful to me over the years. And this one's going to be hard. I knew it. I had, you know, here's the thing about choosing fabrics. I just feel like we know, right? We know more about color and about what works together than we think we do. But I know a lot of people are nervous about color, are nervous about picking out fabrics and making sure the fabrics work right. There are rules, and it's helpful to know those rules, right? And it's helpful to know the color wheel, bring a color wheel with you when you are selecting fabrics. All of that is true. But at the same, and I do think some combinations, right, are more pleasing and satisfying than others, and oftentimes you surprise yourself. But I think if you go into the fabric store, into your quilt shop, with an open mind and with the belief, and it might take some help, but that you will find, you will know what you're looking for when you find it. It's like pornography. You know what it is when you see it. And that's how it is for me with fabric. But I knew this was going to be complicated because this is a fairly scrappy quilt, right? It's made from a Moda colorway, a French General colorway. It has, I'm going to go and sit right over here. I'm going to go look at it. It has a lot of red in it. It has a lot of gray greens and gray, let's just call it gray greens. So there are greens, gray, blue, greens. How's that sound? So these are not greens with yellow in them. They definitely have blue in them. They're leaning blue, they're leaning gray. So a lot of that, a lot of red, and the reds are true reds for the most part. I added some fabric, which is a red, which is a getting closer to a maroon. There are browns. There's a lot of cream. There's some tannish yellow, brownish yellows. All right, so you've got, and it's scrappy. So what do you do with that? And my thought was going in inner border red and outer border. Didn't know, but one thing I knew about the outer border for sure is I wanted a loose print, probably a loose floral. There's a lot of floral prints in the quilt, but there are a lot of tight, small prints. So I really felt like we got to breathe in the border, right? And that in the borderlands, we need to do some breathing. We need to relax. We need to, you know, kind of give the eye a little bit of a break because it gets tight there in the blocks. So that was my idea. But, and you know, I figured reds, greens, but open to anything because you don't know. And I think the funnest thing is when you're surprised. When the weird combinations, the unexpected colors work. That to me is really super fun. So I went over to the French Generals, to the shelf where I had selected the fabrics to go with the jelly roll that I had bought via the Fat Quarter Shop. And that seemed a good place to start. And get out the red, a true dark red, blood red kind of, and that, you know, moving toward blue, moving away from yellow, kind of red. And it wasn't quite right. And part of it is there are a variety of reds. They are blue reds, not yellow reds. Okay, leaning toward blue, leaning away from yellow. But having said that, different shades, different, I can't remember. Now we're going to get into hues, and I think hues is the right word, but I could be wrong. Anyway, so it was going to be really hard. So you could match any of the reds perfectly, but not all of them perfectly. So I was like, that might not work. Do I want to try something else? Maybe a blue. You know, there is a lot of blue-green, so maybe a blue. Blues weren't working. The problem was I like a warm quilt. I like warm colors. And, in fact, here's a digression. So I'm walking through. Ooh, what a clean, shiny kitchen I'm walking through. How lovely. Smells clean, too. Ha, look at that fan going with no dust on top. Okay, going to my bathroom. Actually, stopping by the AC panel. It's 2 in the afternoon. We got the AC going because it's hot and muggy outside, and I don't want it going. Anyway, so I bought some new Kleenex yesterday because Will has a cold. Will, who faked wellness on Monday, got the cold on Friday, didn't tell me, asked if he could stay after school to watch the girls' volleyball game, and then came home. He's like, oh, I don't feel good. I don't think he felt good all day, but he wanted to watch the girls' volleyball game. Anyway, Monday, he goes to school because there's a soccer game, and then yesterday, he missed school because he was faking being well for the soccer game. Can't fake well for school. Can fake it for sports. But today he's back because they have another soccer game. Anyway, at the store yesterday, I should take a picture. I should take a picture of this Kleenex box to show you. We're very interactive today. You're not. I am. I'm walking around as I'm talking to you because I'm really just digging being in this clean house. Okay. So I got, for my bathroom, I'm experimenting in my bathroom. That sounds bad, doesn't it? With color. So in my bathroom, I'm going to take some bathroom pictures. I have got a little very cute sink skirt because my bathroom sink is like a old-fashioned bus station sink. I know, it's really ugly. So that's got a skirt. For accent, the walls of the bathroom, our beautiful blue that the man painted. I'm trying to get a picture. Oh, maybe this will give you blue. Go. Okay, I'll get you. I'm sorry, trying to talk. Press the dang phone. There we go. Probably out of focus paint there. Anyway, yes, so trying to play with colors. So the accent colors, blue wall, blue skirt. Then I'm playing around with oranges, like orange Kleenex box, and brown. And yesterday, I'm at the store needing to replenish our Kleenex supply. I know, we actually do handkerchiefs. We actually are more environmentally correct than my boxes of Kleenex would have you believe. But for whatever reason, who knows, it doesn't matter. So I thought, I saw this green Kleenex box. And I don't know if it's actual Kleenex or if it's the store brand, but it's like got black, gray, green, and this very light, light green that's got a touch of yellow. And I thought, I need to get that because I need to see how it works in the bathroom just to play. You know, I mean, not for like I'm having these artistic experiences with Kleenex boxes. No one in my family's even the least bit aware that I'm doing this. And I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of interested. I'll try to get another picture. I'll put up the bathroom pictures for you next time. I'm sorry, I'm hitting my recorder with my phone, but I want to give you. Okay. And then watch me. I'll forget that I've taken all these pictures. Oh, now I'm taking a video of the bathroom Kleenex boxes. All right. I think we've probably done as much with that as we can. Anyway, so, but the thing about this Kleenex box is it's interesting. I'm living with it. I'm living with the Kleenex box in my bathroom to see how I feel about it color-wise. But it is a very cool green. You know, it's got the black. It's got, you know, it's very cool. And I'm like, the colors in the bathroom are so warm. Do we need something to cool down? Or does it just feel dark and it's rainy anyway? I don't know. But so with this quilt, see, I'm back here at my board with, yes, with Travis on the couch. I think when I was looking at greens, in part because Carrie's fiance, Ben, likes green. So I thought, well, let's look at those for the inner borders and what have you. But it was too, and also blues, too cool. And I think the thing about this quilt and the colorway is it's nice. It's not neutral, right? But it's like the warm and cool colors balance each other. I think, I hope you like this. I hope Carrie likes it. Ben, you know what? Ben, love Ben. He's great, funny, cool guy. He's not really my main concern here. But what I did not want to do with the borders is then cool it down too much. So Julie, who was helping me, found this rust fabric for the inner border. It's rust with, it's a small print, and in the print is a I don't even know if it, just a light brown, like a little light brown square, on point square. I don't know if I'll get pictures of this for you or not. I'll do my best, but anyway, but it's nice, and I think there's even in the small print, oh, there's also, I can't tell my light here, but it's either a darker brown or it could be even a really dark green, but it's nice. So the rust works really nicely with the reds, with the browns, with the greens. So that's very cool. So that was just a beautiful thing. And then for the outer fabric is this, it's a wonderful, it's a very, I don't know if you say old fashioned floral, is that kind of redundant? It's an old fashioned floral. I guess they're modern florals. I mean, you think Kafe, and Amy B and all the, you know, that there are modern florals. So, but this seems particularly to me like colonial old fashioned. And I don't have it in me to describe it other than to say it's got a cream background. It has leaves that almost look like ferns and they're green and they're outlined in red and they're flowers. And I don't know what kind of flowers they are. They're old fashioned. They probably don't even grow anymore and they're red, but they also have a light brown. So there's actually, I don't think there's any blue in it, but they're certainly coming and looking at it closely, definitely green and brown and some different reds, some truer reds, some lighter reds. So really, yeah, I'm not seeing blue, but it's fabulous. It's fabulous. Now I have the inner border sewn on. I do not have the outer border, but what I'm truly, truly truly excited about, I have to tell you, is the background fabric. I will post a picture of it, not just on the quilt, but in and of itself. My dears, it is beautiful. It is a beautiful thing. So it is, and this is, and Julie was like, you know, she's like, let's look. Let's look. She's like, stay with me. Let's look for a mustard. I'm like, mustard. I'm like, as someone, first of all, who cannot wear, you know, I shouldn't even be close to, I'm putting my hand on it and my hand just looks terrible. Okay, but it is gold and a nice warm orangey brown. And yes, there is mustard and there is blue, like a, I want to say teal, but I think teal is bluer than this. Is not teal. This is like, it's a blue gray. Let's say that. When I say teal, I feel like that's what I mean, but I think teal may actually be a bright blue, and that's not what this is at all. So it's a blue gray. There's green. It's, imagine what would butterfly wings. Up close, the cells of a butterfly's wing. That's what it reminds me of. I have a very up close and personal picture of this fabric that I will post. It is gorgeous. And what I'm also excited about, again, Julie, my hero of the week, I'm looking at thread. And I always look at the Aurifil first, but you know, I do use a good bit of King Tut, and she took me, so I'm looking at the Aurifil, and I'm looking for the top, you know, first of all, not thinking top bottom, just thinking top. And knowing sort of, yeah, I don't want, I'm not confident enough yet in my machine quilting to want it to stand out. So looking at very light, warm browns, but very light. So, I mean, if you say tan or beige, I think those always seem dead to me. So, and this has some, it's like a really light brown, one shade lower than, say, bleached muslin, right, or the muslin, so it's one shade darker with a touch, hint of red in it. Very pretty. And then the background, oh my goodness, for not the background, but for the back, she said, why don't you, she pulled out this other thread, it's a very, what do you call it, I want to say varied, multivariable, what is it, you know, lots of different colors in it, and it's color 943 King Tut, if you want to look it up, but it has gold and green, variegated. Is that what we mean? Is that what I'm trying to say? Variegated? Quilt and Jenny, are you there shouting out the right answer? You might be. It goes so perfectly with the backing. I can't even stand it. So I'm excited for this quilt. Now I have, today is Wednesday, so I have 10 days to do it, assuming that I feel very strongly like I must deliver it to the wedding. And I'm not actually sure I should do that because, you know, of course, at this point, given how perfect the fabrics we are, opening the door for Travis, we can go out into the humidity. Oh, good Lord. Oh, this is really gross. But you can hear the sounds of late September. And if you were here with me, you can look into my totally overgrown, really sad garden. It's like, I think we're just waiting for the first frost to kill it all off and put it and us out of our misery. In any event, yes. Yeah, so now that I have found these perfect fabrics, I'm totally terrified that the quilt will get lost in transit. So I'm not even sure. It's like, when, you know, should I just take it to her mom's house? I don't know. But I have to figure that out. But say that, but my intention right now is to give Carrie the quilt, Carrie and Ben, not that we're actually all that concerned about Ben, give them the quilt in at the wedding. And I believe I have explained how we are not actually invited to the reception because we don't matter that much to them. No, that's not true at all. We are not family. Well, we kind of are family. Well, anyway, sorry. Opening up the trash can. See what good audio you're getting today. Yeah, so anyway, but I feel like I have an understanding of how I'm going to quilt this. Walking around, just viewing. How nice to have a clean house. Or at least part of the house is clean. So I'm excited. I'm excited for you to see it. My plan is to get the outer borders done tonight and then start marking for the quilting tomorrow. Yeah, and I'm looking at it and I'm seeing something with triangles. Yeah, so, but I'll let you know when I get there. So that's where I am on Carrie's quilt. I'm excited about it. Also excited to be, kind of want to get back to my Dresden plates, both the old-fashioned 1930s ones and my modern Dresden plate. I have some of those as well. Looking forward to both of those. And oh, I got, let's talk books. Let's talk books. First of all, I did a school visit the other day and got paid. Actually, I haven't gotten paid, but I will get paid for it. So I treated myself to Victoria Finley Wolfe's 15 Minutes of Play about improvisational quilts. When do you think it was that improv quilts, don't you feel like there's a new wave of popularity, or am I just getting clued into it now? I don't know, but I feel like so much of what I'm seeing online, there's so much more about improv, but I am not the one for trends. I can be really, really out of it and just kind of following my own silly little muse. But anyway, I mean, obviously it's been around forever, and in fact the way that I got into quilting was, was Gwen Marston, who's fairly improvisational, just sort of cut it, just cut it, don't worry about it, cut it. I'm sure that's how she talks. But yeah, so it is nothing new, but I do feel like it's at least, I feel like in the last year, I have had greater awareness of people being interested in improvisational quilts. Now you could say, I mean, modern quilting, what is that besides improvisational quilting to some extent? And it may be that people like Victoria Finley Wolfe are really coming onto the stage. She's been on the stage, but I don't know if that's true before 2000. When was it? 2012, 2013, whenever the first Quilt Con was. And she won. I don't know if people were really aware of her before then, if some people were, and then she just became huge. Don't know, because again, I'm just old and out of it. But I do feel like the stuff that she's doing is really exciting because it's mixing the improvisational and the traditional in a way that's neat and to me seems very fresh and fun. And so I'm interested in playing. I don't know after this quilt. I'm not working on a quilt for anybody. They're always now. I was, whether or not I had thought maybe I would make my friend Cheryl a quilt for Christmas. I don't know if I'll do that or not. And I haven't spent as much time with her lately, not out of any reason other than she's been spending, she has a little house at the beach and she's been spending a lot of time there. So I don't know if it would feel weird. At this point, I just don't know. We'll see. If I get to it, and maybe I'll do something funky improvisational, and it will be perfect, and I'll give it to her. But that had I had had that idea late last year, or early this year, that I might do that, and I just don't know. Because it's October, right? Christmas is upon us. Oh my goodness, run for the hills! And anyway, so I did. So I got the 15 Minutes of Playbook, and I'm really excited about it. I really like her. Just what I've seen of her and in her interviews, she's very cool and interesting. Just seems like good people, and I like her approach to improvisational quilting, to quilting in general. So I got that. I just finished a memoir by Elizabeth Alexander, who is a poet. She read at President Obama's first inauguration. And she has written a memoir called The Light of the World. It is about her husband who died, I think, in 2012, very suddenly. He had just turned 50. He was an artist. He was originally from Africa and had been a refugee in Africa and Europe and then came to the States. He was also an amazing cook, he was a chef, and he had fully clogged arteries, all four of them. So he got on the treadmill one afternoon and died immediately. I mean, I think just he was on the treadmill when they found him. And sadly, one of their sons, who was, a kid, 10, maybe 9 or 10, found him. And he, the treadmill was still running and he was just lying there. And it had not been long, but the doctor said later he probably died before he hit the ground. It was just one of those things. And there's certain sometimes heart disease you just don't catch it, and so. But anyway, she's a poet, and she's written this. It's beautiful. You will cry if you read it. You will cry. You will wish that you had a husband who cooked more, or was perhaps from Africa and a painter. And not that, I mean, the man is, a really great husband, but he doesn't really cook other than chili. He would paint. I think, you know, he does some painting every once in a while. But anyway, it make you like, you were a poet and your husband was a painter and you had, you know, and you taught at Yale and stuff. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's a good book if you're looking for a really lovely memoir but really sad. I would recommend it. I'm trying to think. Oh, I just got, I don't know if you know Jen Hatmaker. She's funny. She's kind of a Christian lady writer, but very, very funny and very cool. She had a, you know, she's got five kids, two of whom she adopted. I think from Ethiopia, but I could be wrong. And anyway, so it's called For the Love. It just came out. And it's really funny. It's, although it's interesting. So she's in her early 40s. She was born in 74. I was born in 64. And she's directing it. She's like, let us, those of us who have hit 40, let us tell you. I'm like, oh, honey, those of us who've hit 50, let us tell you. But anyway, so it's obviously aimed at younger women. And I think what it's aimed at, but the message is good, which is basically, you know, quit. Let's quit with the whole perfectionist thing. Let's quit with the whole everybody else has their stuff together and I don't, because nobody has their stuff together. And quite frankly, I think that's a message that cannot be said enough. And particularly, yeah, she's very funny about Pinterest, how Pinterest has just done a number on a whole generation of women, like, you know. But I think the social media in general, because people post the happy things and people post beautiful pictures and people, you know, on Pinterest, like, look at this wonderful meal I just made, you know. And what they don't post is, and nobody in my family ate it, you know, that you don't get. You just get, and it's this way of, you know, showcasing our own lives. And to some extent, you know, human beings, we are performers. We are, we like, I mean, we like theater. And part of that is building a set. Right. And putting, and to some extent, our houses are sets, and we, you know, play out our lives on these sets that we build. But I do think, because we have so much, not just social media, but obviously marketing media on TV and in magazines and coming at us, that is, you know, that we, you know, we're kind of dumb. We kind of think it's all real because we see it. Right. So it seems real. But the fact is that, you know, and I think I probably, you know, I harp on this a lot, but I just think it's so important because I think we're all so terribly broken. And if you don't think you are, then you're really in trouble. And that our lives are so imperfect, even when you've got everything, you know, even when it's like you've got the good marriage and the nice house and the good job. It's, you know, I mess up so much and say stupid things. So much. I think I talked about that in the first quilt diary, where I just should not really be allowed out, at least unmuzzled. You know, I just feel like, wow. But we're always putting up these fronts, like, oh, look, we're so happy. Oh, look at my wonderful children. I'm like, you know, my children, actually, what I have to sometimes remind myself is, like, your kids are actually pretty great, you know, because I'm so focused on, wow. Will doesn't eat food that's not white, and Jack hasn't actually spoken more than 2 cents to us in 6 years. Is that a problem? So for me, I gotta step back and go, no, actually, they're really great kids. They really are. But you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on, even when things are good. I think life just kind of, on a day-to-day basis, our propensity for messing things up, for saying the wrong thing, for being unkind unintentionally, right, for telling a truth when we should not, when we should have had some filters up, for not doing something we should have done, which is, you know, I'm really good at that. You know, it's like, I did, it's just like one of Will's teachers who was on sabbatical in the spring, but she's someone I really like a lot, and her sister died. And I don't know, why didn't I just sit down and write a note? When I saw her the last couple of months, I'm like, you know, I'm really, really sorry, and I hope you know. So I express sympathy, but I'm like, why didn't you write a note? It actually would have meant something to her if you had, even if it was just to say, you know what, I'm really sorry. I mean, she's not someone I'm close to, but she's someone I like a lot, and that's a big, huge deal to have your sister die of cancer. So I mean, so anyway, how did I even get there? Just thinking, let me back. Oh, for the love. Anyway, so I think she's addressing that. You know, if you're not Jesus-y, I mean, she's more Jesus-y than I am, I have to say. But I still, you know, I think her message is still good. which, because it's a message of grace, which is basically, you're not perfect. Quit expecting yourself to be perfect. Quit looking at other people and thinking they're perfect. The only way you get through this is, you know, with love and faith, which I totally agree with. I also got out of the library. I was on the waiting list for it. Was a big, what is it? I want to say Big Medicine, but that's not it, is it? It's a new Elizabeth Gilbert book, Big Magic. I like Big Medicine better, don't you? But I started reading it. Here's the problem, like really, I mean, and I love Elizabeth Gilbert. I think she's great. I love the fact that she spends the first chapter or the introduction talking about the poet Jack Gilbert, who she's not related to, but who died a few years ago, was a great poet. If you are looking for some poetry to read, get his collected poems out of your library. I bet your library has it. Mine does. Tremendous poet, long career, beautiful writer, and she spends several pages talking about him. So it's like, that to me is a good start. And I do like her. I think she's really neat. She's a little woo-woo. And you know what? I would like to be woo-woo. I would like, I don't know, she's been on the, you know, radio a lot lately, like Fresh Air and some of the afternoon NPR shows. She was on, but talking about how, like, there are these ideas in the world, and if you let one slip by, someone else is going to get it, and that she felt like Ann Patchett got, you know, she hugged Ann Patchett, and she, if the, Elizabeth Gilbert had been thinking about this idea about a woman and who sent down to the Amazon for some reason, she'd been thinking about it, but she didn't do anything about it, and then she hugged Ann Patchett, and that idea passed from her to Ann Patchett, and then Ann Patchett wrote that wonderful novel that came out a couple years ago that, of course, I can't remember the title to. And I think, wow, that's really cool. That's really neat. And I'm also thinking, what a bunch of hooey. But I love that kind of, I love magical thinking. I do. I just don't actually believe it. Religion is as close as I can get. Christianity is as close as I can get to magical thinking. And sometimes I don't believe that either, right? So, but I'm more inclined to believe magical thinking that has a really firm foundation of ethical thinking behind it, right? Because even if Christianity turns out to not be true, do unto others, golden rule, take care of the poor, those are all really good things to do, no matter what. Anyway, but not to get too much into religion, but there's a lot of magical thinking where I'm just like, huh, yeah, I would love that. I would love to think it. Love to think it. Love to think, oh, look, the thin places. I feel like I'm near a thin place, you know, which is very Celtic. The idea that the thin places between this world and the next. And I actually sometimes feel that I feel like I can feel that. But for the most part, again, would love to think that way. Not good at thinking that way. So, Big Magic. One of the things, too, so the wonderful chapter about Jack Gilbert, and then you get into, she's just like, maybe you've wanted to do something. You've wanted to paint or write or make something, and you've just been scared. And I'm thinking, you know, I am actually pretty creative every dang day of my life. Just between the writing and the quilting and whatever else I kind of get my head into. really being creative hasn't been a problem. And she basically says, If this is not an issue for you, if you are creative already, this book isn't for you. And like, I closed it. I'm like, okay, I might read it again because I do like her, and I think it's, you know, and we can all be more creative. I think it's interesting that that is the big thing right now. Everyone's talking about creativity. How can you be more creative? And I do think that people are happiest when they're making stuff, right? Whether that's working in a garden and building a garden. Or making a model train, obviously quilting or knitting or cooking. I mean, I think we are bodies, right? We are ensouled bodies. And there's something, we are creative people. We're born creative, and then a lot of us just kind of lose it because it's like a muscle or something. I don't know. Is that even true? A little bit is true. I know that if you want to be a better quilter, make quilts. If you want to be a better writer, write all the time, that kind of thing. So, will I continue with, I don't know, but that was kind of, it wasn't off-putting, I just thought it was funny, because I'm thinking, maybe this isn't the book for me, and she's like, maybe this isn't the book for you. I'm like, all right then. So whether or not I'll finish that, I don't know, but if you're feeling like you need a jolt of creativity, it could be a good book. And again, I like her, I think she's smart, I think she's a very good writer, so yes, whether or not I'll finish, do not know. So that's kind of where I'm on reading. Writing is just crazy town. Trying to finish up this draft before the big colonoscopy. Oh my goodness. Here's what I haven't told you, because I think the last time I recorded was last Thursday. So here's the thing to tell you, which is just hilarious. Friday, I had my book club. We were supposed to read Otto, Emma, somebody else, and James. I can't remember who the third, Russell and James, which I think I mentioned and said I was liking it. I had a hard time getting into it, but I started it again and I liked it. And I did like it, but I stopped about two-thirds of the way through because I was like, I don't actually care how this ends. I think, you know, and it's, so the writing is lovely. If you're just looking for a quiet, lovely little book, I think if you're in the right mood for it, it's wonderful. People loved it. And there were, it was in my book club, it was like there were a number of us who were just like, eh, you know, yeah, it was really nice. Couldn't finish it. But there are other people who finished it and really loved it. So it's one of those books. But so at book club, we spent the usual 5 minutes discussing the books and then just, you know, started ragging on our families. Not true, but just, you know, talking. But I mentioned about getting the colonoscopy. And, you know, here's, again, talking about what kind of a rotten person I am. Liz, and we've been meeting now, we're 13 years into this. She gets a colonoscopy every 5 years because there's colon cancer in her family, like all over it. Her dad died very young, and that's how he died. Some of the aunts, uncles, people have died in her family, not her siblings, but they all get tested. So she does it every 5 years. So I'm like, all right, let's talk trash. And it was great because she really and her thing was, you know, it's really not that bad. You know, so yeah, some people don't do well with the Demerol. They can you know, that can kind of make them feel sick. But other than that, she's like, even it's just like you're hungry. She said that the bad part is not being able to eat beforehand. So that made me really happy because I've been, you know, I'm not dreading it, but that felt really good. You know, to just someone who does it every 5 years. I mean, this is my first. She's like 50. Yeah, so she's done it a bunch. I mean, I think she's had 5 or 6 at this point. So that was really helpful to talk to her about that. So for our next book club meeting, we are reading The 10th of December by George Saunders. I have read a couple of the stories in that, and they were wonderful. So I'm actually looking forward to reading all of the stories in that. Writing. But what I'm writing, I don't know. Colonoscopy. Trying to finish the second book in the series by the 15th. I don't think I have one more chapter to write. That will get done. But then I got the copy edits for the first book in the series, and the copy editor, as it's very rare, the copy editor doesn't just send me screaming for the hills or to the wine bottle because they make me crazy. So there was that, and then got. I have a book coming out next summer called Trouble the Water, which has already been copy edited, the worst copy editing experience of my career. But now I've got my editor has gone through it again, not to copy edit, but just little tweaks, what she calls tweaks, like, you know, and really teeny tiny stuff. But she does actually want me to write a short chapter from the point of view of a dog who does already have one very short chapter from his point of view. So I need to do that. And then, I just feel like, again, I feel like I just have these walls, you know, like the colonoscopy is a wall and I just have to get over that wall. And then I'm actually doing a school visit in 2 weeks I think it's going to be the 13th, which is a Tuesday, which is why I've got to call Betty. I can't do that Tuesday. And that's kind of it. Then I have another draft revision to do, but I'm kind of thinking I may, you know, I kind of want to focus on quilty stuff, on quilty writing, on getting this website up that I'm working on and actually actively working on the books. So if there's a way financially, it doesn't matter whether I get this draft in this year or next year, I kind of would rather put it off a little bit. So there you have it. That is where I am. That is where I am. I started teaching. I'm doing some workshops, creative writing workshops with young writers. I have one I'm doing over a period. I think we have 6 sessions over the fall. And we had our first one, which was good, although it was Sunday afternoon, 2 to 5. And by 4:30, everyone was pretty squirrely. I think we're going to need to either just the last half hour be silly and do silly things or take a bigger break in the middle. I don't know. But it's a nice group. It's all girls. And it's a very nice group of girls. So I think that's it. I think that's all I have to tell you. I'm sure there are other things I'll think of as soon as I stop, but that can come next time. So I will see you probably a couple weeks, but I'll be back. I hope you're doing fine. Love to hear from you. Thanks to everyone who's been in touch. Be in touch. I do. I really love to hear from you. So, anyway, till next time, remember, life is short. Quilt first. Bye.